Well, good evening. Welcome to Calvary Chapel of Wichita. It's like I'm back over here. All right. Awesome. Well, obviously, again, once again, I'm not Patrick. Neither was the guy before me, and neither was the guy before that. But we're still praying. Patrick's doing a little bit better today. That's the fun with this COVID stuff. You just, it's kind of like a roller coaster ride. It kind of takes you from one extreme to another. And so let's keep praying for him. In fact, let's just pray now. Lord, we want to just give this time to you and your word. But most of all, Lord, we want to pray for our pastor. And Lord, for any others that are going through any kind of sickness or illness, Lord. But especially, Lord, just during this time, Lord, we want to lift him up before your throne room of grace, Lord. We ask that you would touch his body, Lord. Lord, give him strength, Lord. Lord, just be with him. Speak to him, Lord, while I know that he's not, we all know, Lord, that Patrick's not a person that is sitting still very long, Lord. And so we just pray, Lord, as Lord, you've called him to this season, Lord, for a moment. We pray that you'd be speaking to him, that his heart and ears would be open to hear what you have to say to him. And Lord, we pray, Lord, you'd give him great rest, Lord, for the ministry that's before him. And we just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I just wanted to, my mind's been kind of all over the place about what to talk about, what to teach on, and what to share with you guys tonight. So I spent a few hours the other night sitting on the couch, laying on the couch, sleeping on the couch. Lord, what is it? What would you like me to share from your word? And he said, what have you been doing? You know, what's been going on with you? And so I just got to thinking, my wife Chris and I, we do a lot of our devotional reading together. We pick out a book every year or some kind, or two or three, and some of them we'll do on our own, but some we'll do together, and we read those together. And so that's just something that we've done our whole time of being married, and just that's something that just seems to bless our heart, and that we can share together with. And so that's something different for everybody, but that's something that the Lord's given us to do together, and we really enjoy it. This, I think last year we read through the Bible together, and we also read a book called The 1 Year of Christian History. So it gives you snippets of different people and different events and things that happen through a year, just to, you know, so you have a daily reading each day for different people and different events through all of the biblical and Christian history. So and then this year we're reading 50 People Every Christian Should Know, and so those have been really good. And plus we decided to slow down the Bible reading, because going through the Bible in 1 year seems like a great idea, but it seemed like a lot of times we were taking it in like a fire hose at times, trying to just kind of get, so we stayed on track. And so then, anyway, so we said, let's do a 2 year plan, kind of slow that down a little bit, and then just kind of take in little bites, and then do some devotional stuff. So that's kind of what the Lord's got for us this year. So all this to say, it's been keeping our hearts and emotions joyful and convicted and blessed and grieved and merciful and gracious and repentant and somber and overwhelmed and touched and just on and on. You know, I mean, just because with reading God's word and reading those things, and from the history of our church and the saints of the past and the different events that have happened, it brings on, at least for me it does, a wave of emotions and different thoughts and things. And so I think Patrick taught and showed us the Voice of the Martyrs video here a couple weekends ago. And I told Chris, I went home and I said, what are we really doing for the Lord? Are we doing anything for the Lord? Because I don't feel like I'm doing anything for God, and we're not doing anything. We need to do something. And, you know, I'm ready to go live in a hut in the middle of somewhere and do something. I don't know. I just was, there was something really hit me. And then Chris reminded me, and the Lord reminded me of a few things. Well, you are kind of doing some things. So, but I felt like, because of reading all those things, you get inspired. You get convicted sometimes from reading about other people and their lives and the different things that they're doing, and how God used people differently. But He has a different gift and a different thing He wants to speak to each one of us. But I wanted to. We're going to get to Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 4 eventually. But I want to start out in chapter 11. Has a list of the witnesses and their faith and acts in faith. But the chapter starts with what faith does. So let's begin there. Does anybody need a Bible? We can get somebody to get a Bible if anybody needs a Bible. Does anybody out there got a Bible? Doesn't got a Bible that needs a Bible? Ben's your friend if you need a Bible. There you go. Thank you, Ben. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance or the reality of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible." Then it goes on to tell us of all these before us, or many before us, who walked by faith. Verse 6 tells us, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, that if we come to God, we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Verse 13 says that, or tells us that these all died in faith. And he's talking about all these people that we are not going through this list of people right at this second. All these died in faith, not having received the promises, but that they saw them afar off and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Verse 14, "For those who say such things declare plainly they seek a homeland." And then it goes on to verse 16 and says, "But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore it says that God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." And as we go through the rest of the chapter there, if we pick up in verse 32, it says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had a trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So by faith they overcame all these things, this list. And it seems as though when we start reading the New Testament and the life of many of the apostles and the followers of Jesus, we see this, a lot of the same issues that they had. And so this is obviously a different kind of faith than what the rest of the world has in things. Now, the world has faith in different things, and but generally when you would read a list like this, or you would go through something, this last part, at least what we read through, you know, being in chains and being slain with swords and all the different things, most people would go, I'm going the other way. But all these people, because of the faith that they had and having that belief in the faith of the God that they were following, they didn't consider any of these things torture or anything that would take them to a place of being fearful or run down. But they ran towards those things because they believed in whom, or because they believed him in whom they had trusted for the faith that they had. So we see that with Paul, with Peter, with the rest of the apostles, and a lot of the other people that we followed by, that we see in faith in the Bible, but also in like the books I was telling that Chris and I have been reading, you know, post-biblical experiences of Christians throughout the world, and a lot of the trials and tribulations and things that they went through. And so I think that the faith that we have is definitely something different from what we see that so much of the world would have and what their faith would be. You know, a lot of the world has faith in their finances. They have faith in maybe their government or faith in their family and faith in many different things. Faith in their own abilities to do whatever it is that they maybe think they can do or can't do. But when we see the Christian faith, when we see what God's called us to, we see this as vastly and greatly different from what the world would see. And that's why I believe that it, you know, we see that is something that is beyond the faith of the natural man. It's a spiritual faith. It's a faith in a creator God who we've never seen. The description it gives there about what faith does in the first verse of chapter 11 kind of describes those things for us. But as we pick up here in chapter 12, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So all these people that we just, or some of them we went right by, I guess, but I just kind of scanned over chapter 11 there and kind of hit some points, but didn't talk about each individual person that was brought up there. But I think we get the idea, and I think most of us have probably read chapter 11. But it says that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and so I don't even think that it's for us. And this time, I'm smacking my mic. Sorry. For us, we are surrounded by even a greater cloud of witnesses than what this list is that's contained here in the Bible, because we have the faith of the other saints that are behind us from the time when they ended the writings of the Bible up to this time now. And we can see through a greater cloud of witnesses, not only the faith of those in here, but beyond that, that those people that trusted beyond those folks here. And so we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And then it talks about laying aside every weight. So every burden, every doubt. You know, there's in the last couple of years with COVID and the different things that have happened, and, you know, it just seems like this thing hits people differently. Some people it's caused great distress on their bodies and different things, and other people, they barely have any symptoms at all. To people who seem to, I've had COVID twice. And, you know, maybe not the same variant, obviously. I'm not sure. My wife seems to be pretty immune. She's been around lots of people, me, you know, obviously, and a lot of other people that we know of that have had interactions with people day in and day out and whatever. It just doesn't seem to affect them. But I think for all of us, we'd have to be lying if we said that we'd never think about this daily, if there isn't something that brings it to our mind. And so not only that, but the other things that we see happening in the world around us politically and economically and all the other things, because, you know, the news is just flashing at us all the time with the different stuff. Here's this thing's going to happen and that's going to happen, and you can't do this, and you got to do that, and you're going to do this, and this world, people over here are doing this, and it's just, it's like it's constantly at us. And so it's easy to get burdened by those things and to get overwhelmed and weighted down and to have doubts about even about our faith at times, because there's just so much going on. But the thing for us as believers, and what God, I think, keeps showing me anyway, is that we got to keep bringing it back to the Word. We have to keep letting God reinstate that faith, refresh and renew our minds and refresh us in the things of His Word, so that we're not stuck with only hearing the voice of the world, you know. And so I think it's easy to get caught up in that and to get away from this and to read this and just kind of go, yeah, and then go back to what's here and now instead of about what's before us. And so we have to think about all these great people of faith here. Their faith wasn't in their situation where they were at the time. Their faith was in in what was to come, right? It wasn't in what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or anything like that, because many of them faced very hard and you know, things that brought about death to them, or they knew would bring death about to them, or that they were going to, you know, be tortured for whatever it was or whatever the thing was, but they believed in God. They had faith in God. They were holding on to that substance, the reality that they knew who God was and that He was faithful to complete what He said He would do and what He had promised them. So they believed in the promises of God. And so that's what got them through that. And so I think as we are going through whatever we're going through, part of this, and maybe it's been for you like, yeah, I just really have been unaffected for the most part by the last 2 years. I've seen a lot of things happen around me, but it hasn't personally affected me. And we can see that we can, you know, maybe that's the position that you're looking at this from. But for many of us, I would think that would have to be, you know, pretty much not the thing, because I think that most all of us have been touched by it some way or another. We know somebody that this has hit greatly, or we've been affected by it in our families or whatever, or obviously within our church here, we've experienced a lot of these things too. But if we look back at God's word, we're to lay our burdens down before God. We're to bring all of our cares to Him because He cares for us. And so that's what He wants us to do. We want to lay aside those weights, those things that are burdening us. And we also, you think about the sin that so easily ensnares us, because if we get in that same place where we're fearful of everything in the world and what's going on, and we get our minds stayed upon that instead of stayed upon the Lord, sometimes what we do is what I see with people is they're reverting back to their old man ways, because you get fearful. Well, this doesn't seem like it's working anymore. The faith that I thought I had, and God doesn't really seem to be showing up, so I'm going to go back and do this because this is what I know. This seems what seems natural. And we see that with the people, the Israelites in the Old Testament. God saved them out of Egypt and got them out going towards the promised land. And then all of a sudden, things got a little bit hard. Where's the water, Moses? Where's our food, Moses? We had it good back there. Let's go back. And so I think that's a natural human thing, is that we see that happening in the Old Testament, but we can see that happening around us, I believe, now with people, as they're becoming fearful. They're being caught up in the things that are going on, and they're going, man, I'd like to go back to the other era. I want to go back to the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, or whatever it may be, you know, the good old days or whatever. I had an old guy that used to tell me all the time when I was a young man working for him, and he would say, you know how they say, when everybody always talks about the good old days, and I'd say, yeah, I've heard that a few times, and he'd say, they wasn't that good. So, but that's really, there's some truth to that statement. It seems funny, but we need to think about that a second, you know. Were those days so good for us back then? So what really should be going on with us, at least I believe as believers, is what we should be doing is we should be drawing nearer to God. Because if that's who our faith is in, and that's what we say, all of you had faith, you came here tonight because you wanted to enact your faith by coming to church and fellowshipping with each other and worshiping God. And so you came here believing that God was going to speak to you or say something to you tonight. And so you showed up here. And so that's a way that we continue to build up, that we let God's word wash us and regenerate us and remind us of God and who He is and the things that He has for us, how much He loves us, how much He cares for us. And we're reminded of His great and precious promises that He has for each and every one of us as believers. And so we don't want to get caught up in those old sinful ways, and we... You know, sin's been around for as much as we know, forever, right? Because starting out in chapter 3 of Genesis, it had original sin there. And then, you know, just hitting a couple points here in 2 Samuel, David, and some of the things that he did. We have, many examples that we could bring up in Old Testament, New Testament, where people's sin cost not only them something, but it cost many people, because of the ripple effect of that sin, cost a lot of lives sometimes, cost relationships, cost divisions of countries, divisions of kingdoms, and just many other things. And so those things that sin did not only affected each one of those people personally, but affected many people around them at that time, but that ripple effect went out further, and it's still affecting us today from some things, from sins from a long time ago. Because it just keeps carrying through, and it permeates the whole thing. Like a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so we see and we understand those things. But God says in His Word here, has given us this, you know, you're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We're to lay aside all these weights and the sin that so easily ensnares us. So He's reminding us, He's exhorting us. The writer of Hebrews here is inspired by the Holy Spirit and speaking these things to us tonight. And He tells us to run the race with endurance, or run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so we need endurance. Hebrews 10:36 tells us, "For we have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 26. Turn there real quick. Maybe not that quick. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run it in such a way that you may obtain it." So we are in a race, but it's an enduring race. We're in a race that we need to endure through. And the way that we endure through is by not only exercising our faith, but enhancing our faith, exhorting others around us, being fed the Word of God, reading the Word of God, being challenged by the Word of God. And then let's go back to Hebrews. And look at verse 2. So I want to just read this here. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so these are exercises in faith for us. These are things that we can do and that we should do. That we look unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And then we think about what He did for us. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him, despising the shame. And then it says that He has sat down He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we know that Scripture tells us that's where Jesus sat. He was born as a baby, just like the rest of us in this world, through a virgin, lived a life here, was crucified and died, rose again on the third day. But now He's back at the right hand of the Father in heaven until we meet with Him again. So those are things that we believe. We believe that as Christians. We should believe that. I hope that's what we believe. That those things are true. What God did for us, what He did for each individual in the world, that they might have an opportunity by faith to come to Him. And so, if we think about that, God, if you think about what an author is, He inspired or wrote this whole book. He authored the faith that we have. He's the finisher of our faith. He's going to complete it, it tells us in Colossians. He's going to complete the work that he began in us until the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to finish it. What he has started, he will finish. And he did it because of the joy that was set before him, that he might have fellowship with his creation. That original sin that I talked about a little bit ago in Genesis is what infected the whole world, the whole of mankind. From that time on, everybody, like it or not, is related to Adam through that act of sin. And that sin nature, that sin DNA, so to speak, is in all of us. And we all need a Savior. And so Jesus made a plan at that time. God had a plan at that time for our salvation. And he was going to bring it through that, what he said, and then he said that we would be able to obtain it by faith. And so he's going to finish that faith for us. And he did it for the joy that was set before him because he wants to have fellowship with his creation again. So going back to thinking about the world, the way of the world would be, if I messed up, somebody would want to bring about some punishment to me. Or there would be a fine. If I'm going down the road and I'm speeding 20 miles an hour over or whatever, and I get stopped and I get a ticket wrote to me, then I'll have my day in court and I go, and then I'm going to owe some money for a fine, right? I'm going to have to pay the penalty of what my action cost. Now, I might say I was late for work. Well, your actions before you went 20 miles an hour over the speed limit could have been, I need to get up earlier and get ready earlier so I can get to work and drive decently and whatever to work. But even if I don't do that, I'm going to break the law driving somehow, some way, at some time. And so just thinking on that perspective of I'm going to owe it a penalty. But in the perspective of what God has done for us, is he knew there was going to be people that would drive 20 miles an hour over the speed limit, that would have wrecks because they weren't paying attention. They were texting on their phone or they were doing whatever, that were going to commit acts against one another, that were going to lie to one another, that were going to cheat one another, that were going to do horrible things to one another. And the world would say we owe a penalty for those things. God says we owe a penalty because we've earned that. That says the wages of sin, and the Bible says to us, the wages of sin, something we've earned, is death. Every one of us has earned those wages. If nothing else, by our relationship to Adam. So we all owe a penalty, but God, unlike what the world would do, made a plan from the beginning, from the first time that happened back in Genesis, to save us all through his Son, that he would take all the penalties upon himself for each and every one of us. He would take all the weight of our sin and our burdens of every man and woman that ever lived. And he would carry him up there on that cross, and he would die for us. He would go in our place. And in Romans chapter 5, it talks about, in fact, let's just go there real quick, because I don't want to paraphrase that to Mike's. says, let's start in verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And it goes on to say, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And so here's the part I wanted to really get to, but all this other pertains it. But it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone wouldn't even dare to die. But listen what it says, what God did for us. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. And it goes on to say, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So his resurrected life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. And then it goes on in verse 12 and on, talking about how we came about that death in Adam, and then that life in Christ. How there's the what we call like the two Adams. And the first Adam that brought about the sin and infected the whole world. And then we have the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who took care of that sin for us, so that we might have eternal life with him. So if you think about think about this from Jesus' perspective. There's been this plan for a long time for him to redeem sinful man. And God, in time and eternity, showed the Israel people that there would be a Messiah. And a lot of them believed in that God was going to save them. They trusted and believed in that. We have that testimony of that in chapter 11 of Hebrews. It talks about those people. They were expecting something in the future. Most of them never actually experienced it while they were here. They died not having obtained that promise, but they believed it. They had faith in it. Abraham believed it. As it says that Abraham believed God, and God put it to Abraham's account God put it to his account that for righteousness' sake. He put that which only thing that Abraham did is he said, I believe God. I trust God that what he said he will do. He will complete the promise that he said. The thing that he asked me to do, pick up and move over here, I just believed it. And so we have to remember, not only did he do that, but also in the things that we sometimes get stuck on is we think, well, Abraham, those guys were great men of faith. These other people did all these things, and they did all these acts. But if we go back and we read the actual stories of their lives, we know they were some dodo heads just like the rest of us. They messed up some stuff here and there too. You know, they had times of unbelief. They had times when their faith was subject, you might say, a little bit. But all in all, they believed and they trusted in God. They ended up, they let God be the author and the finisher of their faith. They kept on believing, kept on trusting. And they kept on seeing what God would do and then things around them. And so through this whole time, these people believed these things. Jesus comes into the scene, and then he knows when he gets here what his mission is. He's telling people about the kingdom of God. And he's calling people to the kingdom of God. And he told us so many things when he was here, you know. But it says that he endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him. He went through it for us. That's what he did. He went through it for us. He endured that cross. He despised the shame. He didn't get stuck on the cross about what was going to happen to him on the cross. But he looked just like he's expecting us to, as he looked past the cross. Because that's what I believe we all have to do. This life has what it has for us. God's called us to faith. And he's also called us and given us different gifts and different places and for ministry and different places for us to live our lives and to do whatever. But he's, as believers, he's given all of us at least one or more gifts to exercise and share with the body of Christ. And if we think about that, that's what Jesus did. He shared all the things that he had with us when he was here. He was our example. And he saw all the children. He saw all the people. He had compassion on them, it says, that many times when he would see people. And when his disciples would do something wrong, like every other 5 minutes, he would say, guys, no, not like that, like this. You know, he had great patience with them. He endured those 12 silly guys for however long it was and was patient with them. And he's patient with each and every one of us. He endured his time with them because he was looking forward to the day that they would all be together in heaven, and none of the problems and things and dealings that they had here in this life would be a part of what was to come. But he wanted them to be a part of what he was going to leave behind here, his witness and his testimony, to do the things that he wasn't here to do. But he left us a helper, a Holy Spirit, to help us do those things while he was away in heaven, back with his Father. He gave us the Holy Spirit as a helper to help us walk through this life. So he didn't leave us as orphans, it says. Didn't leave us helpless. He gave us a helper to help us go through the things that we go through in this life. Empower us with the Holy Spirit to preach his word, to take care of the downtrodden, the sick, the homeless, the helpless, to exercise the gifts that he's given us, whatever they may be. And he was teaching us to look past the cross is very important, part of what had to happen. But he wanted us not only to see that cross and have the impact of the cross and to realize it and to come to faith through it and let ourselves agree with him about our sinful selves and say, God, please take these things from me and accept me into your kingdom. And he did, and he will. But he wanted us to see past that too. He wanted us to see that there's more coming. Yeah. It's, you know, those, I haven't seen one for a long time, but they always had these infomercials where they'd say, you know, here, there's one of these, and they get one of those, and you get six of these in a box and whatever, blah, blah, you know, and they tell you all this stuff, and they go, and then somebody comes off the side and they go, what's that, Jim, $19.99 for five of those? Yeah. And he goes, that's just awesome. And then the guy always says, wait, there's more. And so, you know, and then he says, you get 10 of these pieces of junk. I mean, whatever it is. So, but I think that's what Christ was trying to tell us and is trying to tell us. He says, wait, there's more. We have a heavenly expectation. You remember where we were reading there and it talked about God was preparing a city for them. He's preparing a place for all of us to live and be with him forever. And so, you know, now Paul called them light afflictions that he went through. And if you read that list that we went through at the end of chapter 11, about all the things that happened to people, Paul pretty much could cover most of those in his New Testament times, you know, the perils and the things that he went through. And most of us probably will never experience a lot of those things. But in the last 2 years, we've experienced a lot, I think, in emotional things that are happening us and the turmoil that the world seems to be in. But we have the solid rock of Jesus Christ to stand upon, you know. We can continue in our faith. We continue to draw near to God because that's what he wants us to come draw near to him. And so instead of allowing everything that's going on to make us revert and want to go back to Egypt and eat the leeks and garlic because we thought it was so good, to go back to our former life, God's saying, come to me. Come to me with all your burdens. Yeah, he says, I care for you. Bring all of your cares to me. Everything that is seemingly against you in this world, he knows about and he cares about. And he wants to walk you through it. And in fact, he wants to carry you through it if you need to be carried through it. He will carry you through it. He's a loving Heavenly Father. So, he's at the right hand of God, but he's not unaware of what's going on with us. The Holy Spirit, he left here to help us through all the difficult times in our lives. No matter what we face, no matter what we think, anything that happens to or comes upon us is comes through God's hands. And he will carry us through. Because he's promised. I've seen it happen over and over again. And we probably all could give some testimony of how God's worked in our lives. And we could give testimony of the times that we've doubted God. Or we've cried out to God and we didn't think he heard us. But I want to stand here and tell you, not because I know anything, but that I know that God's true and he's faithful, and that if he's promised you something, he's going to complete it. He's going to bring it about to be. And so at one time, God told I forget who it was he told, but he said that because there was no other one as faithful as himself to swear by, he swore by his own name that this would happen. And he's going to complete, he's going to take us through whatever it is. If there's, you know, 20 more variants and whatever. If there's no more variants or whatever, if we have whatever that can come upon man or has come upon men in this world, God's gonna be right there with us. And then we can live through it by faith. I was thinking, about all these people that, you know, that Chris and I have read through their books and about people, and every one of them that we seemed like most all of them, the story ends with them leaving this earth. You know, it was like, so-and-so was born in 1832 and did this and that, and he grew up, and this were his parents, and this is where he was born at, and this is the life that he led, you know, and went to, so all the different things, you know, different people, all, like I said, a lot of history and a lot of time there. And then, but at the end of all that, somewhere, you know, the end of their ministry came, and then the end of their time came, and that was it. There's at each chapter of at least the book that we're reading for sure now, it has a time when they were born and a time that they left this earth. And for what we've read on those people, all of them lived their lives expectantly by faith, knowing that their Creator was going to take them to heaven when they passed from this earth. That's what they lived for, to do what he had for them to do, because they knew that he was faithful. They knew that what they hadn't seen with their eyes, they believed with their heart, because they knew that God was faithful, and they'd seen him be faithful in their lives, in the lives of people around them, in the ministry he'd called them to, over and over again. And those people, each one of them says, you know, like I said, they had a start date when they were born, and then a time when they died. And for at least the ones that I remember reading, they all died in and out of their faith, and expecting not only to be reunited with other loved ones who were in the faith, but also to be able to see their Savior face to face, the author and the finisher of their faith. And so those are things that should help us keep our joy in these times. Those are things that when it feels like the weight of the world's on us, we can give it to Jesus. Lord, I can't handle this. And he says, I know. Just waiting for you to hand it to me. Lord, I don't understand why everybody else seems to have this, but I don't have it. And that's probably different for every one of us. You don't have it because maybe you don't need it. And it wouldn't be good for you if you had it. Or maybe you don't have it because God says it's not time yet. You think about Abraham and Sarah. You know, they waited and waited. Lord, when you told us you're going to bring this kingdom out of us, you know, you're going to make this people from me, from our Lord. Lord, it ain't happening. I'm an old dude now. And they doubted at one time, and then they had that doubt caused some other problems. And they said, we'll just go ahead with it this way, Lord, because you seem to have gone to sleep, and so we'll take care of this ourselves. But then they came back to a place of faith, and God What did God do? What he promised, he still did. That God didn't change his promise. So sometimes we think we've failed or we've done something wrong, and that's going to cross out God's promise on us. It's not. God's if he's told you something, he's going to do it. If his word says he's going to do something, he will do it. And all he asks us to do is believe and trust in him. All right. I'm going to read two more things, and then we'll let Hector come back up here. There's in chapter 13 of Hebrews, verse 20. So the heading in my Bible says, benediction, final exhortation, and farewell. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I read a lot of, I read a lot of scripture. But I think that's really what we need to do a lot of times. We just need to read God's word and let it bathe our hearts and our minds. You know, I think that's why we read through the Bible in a year or 2 years or whatever it is, or just like a lot of people, they just will sit down and they just start reading and tell us that God speak, and then wait for God to speak. And that's kind of what I did through this, and I'm not sure that he spoke everything yet that he wants to speak to me, but I do know that he spoke. So so I want to end it with this, and then I'll let Hector come back up here. It says in chapter 10, verse 17, you guys are probably all familiar with this in Romans. Says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we need our faith exhorted, if we need our faith to be spoken to or replenished or maybe revived or whatever it may be for you personally, I would suggest that you get into hearing the word of God. We're, you know, corporately we come together and we hear the word of God. We can hear it on the radio, we can get endless podcasts and whatever, and we can do all kinds of things. But I think there's something about hearing the word of God just plainly and simply to our own hearts, and just taking some time and saying, Lord, I want to hear from you. And I'm just asking you to speak as I read through your word. Especially in these times, because it seems like, you know, there's a lot of things pulling for our attention that aren't of God. And God wants to increase our faith. He wants to supplant our faith. And he's given us his word that we might increase our faith by listening to it, reading it, and hearing from him. we have a great cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by them. You guys sitting out there are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. God hasn't left himself without a witness to us and the world around us. But not only are we surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, we are witnesses. We're witnesses and testifiers of what God's done with us and wants to do with us. That we might testify and speak those things to a lost and dying world. That somebody out there, by the word of God that we've read and God's spoken to us, we might speak it and they might hear it and they might turn from their sins and be saved and spend eternity with us. That's what it's all about. It's not, you know, is the people there, that list in chapter 11, those people were sojourners and pilgrims. They are looking for a better homeland. Hopefully we're all looking for a better homeland. This ain't it. This ain't getting better. But we know the place that we're looking forward to is better. That's what the end game for us is that end game for us is heaven. Spending eternity with God. This game will end. This, our time on this earth will end. Every one of us. Most of you probably heard 10 out of 10 die. That's the way it works. And one day our hearts will stop beating, and that'll be it for us, and we'll move on from here. And hopefully, I pray that everyone listening online and everyone sitting in this room has that hope within them. Because if you look around you, and if you study history a little while, you'll see that man doesn't really do a great job of running this world. And apart from God, everything is just chaos and it's a mess. And the only way we can experience peace is in Christ. And if you don't have any peace and you've never met Jesus Christ, and everything seems like it's chaos all the time, and it's a mess and you can't grasp anything or hold on to anything, maybe you need to meet Jesus. Because he wants to be the author and the finisher of your faith as well. He's preparing a place for you if you'll have it. If you'll accept his invitation, he'll have you. If you'll believe and trust in him that he died for your sins and that you are a sinner and that he loves you, like they say, this much. But let me tell you this, he wants all of you. You know, if you've ever held a newborn baby, you want all of that little baby. You just want, oh my goodness, this is so precious. That's what God, how he sees us. We're his children. So if you haven't come to the cross and you haven't come to the place in faith of faith in Jesus, but tonight, somehow, through whatever we've said or done here, you said, yeah, I need that. I want that. There'll be a few of us around, the people probably next to you, just say, hey, man, I want that. I want the faith that Mike's talking about. I want that relationship. I believe and I trust in Jesus Christ that he's going to take me to that place when that book is written and has my date I was born, and then the end date, that'll just say, this is where my earthly experience left off, and this is where my heavenly experience began. Because that's what it's all about. That's all why we're all here. We're looking expectantly to that next thing. We're just occupying until Jesus returns or we go home to Him. So please don't leave this room if that's you without doing that. Because none of us are promised the next second. But we are promised, if we'll trust and believe in Jesus Christ, that next second, if it ends now, will be with Jesus Christ forever. Because He loves you that much. Amen?
Amen.